Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live, WBEST, Chula Vista, California, and I am your host, Romero Ferrand, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. All right, let's get off into it. Today's topic is going to be Start Where You Stand. This episode will teach three free agent athletes to start their professional careers in the most immediate leagues and levels they qualify to play at. This episode will teach street free agents not to wait on the ideal situation of all the time, but start their careers where they stand. This episode will also feature Michael Miller, defensive back, University of West Georgia, for the Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight of the Day. All right, Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about all things sports related. If it's on TV, we'll talk about it. You can talk about pie-eating contests, hot dog-eating contests, dog racing, horse racing, camel racing, mud wrestling, UFC, boxing, WWE, but definitely this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about the NFL because it's a football talk show, being the fact that the NFL can have a 53-man roster. There's 53 stories per team that we can talk about. So that's why we choose to talk about the NFL. It's always a lot of headlines. But we do talk NBA. We do talk Major League Baseball. We do talk Little League World Series. We also talk a little bit about business, e-commerce, college sports, NCAA, NAIA. We talk about, we also have hip-hop and R&B producers and artists that come on the show and do a artist or producer spotlight of the day to tell you their journey. Sometimes these artists and producers are also athletes. So, sports and entertainment always have a place together and definitely on this show. We talk about custom cigars, Stogies and Beer. If you're a craft beer connoisseur, and also a connoisseur of custom cigars, definitely call into the show. So we are Stogies and Beer once again, and for those of you just tuning in, I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And again, this topic today we're talking about Start Where You Stand. Again, this episode will teach street free agents athletes to start their professional careers in the most immediate leagues and levels they qualify to play at. This episode will teach street free agents not to wait on the ideal situation all the time, but to start their careers where they stand. This episode will also feature Michael Miller, defensive back, University of West Georgia, for the Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight. So Michael will be calling in 15 after the hour. We already confirmed that. I'm just looking for his last four numbers to pop up on my monitor so I can put him in queue. And he's going to be coming on here telling us a rookie street free agent, meaning rookie, he just graduated, you know, played his last college games this past season in college at West Georgia. He is a street free agent because he wasn't up on the NFL draft board. Like most of the guys that I deal with, they didn't get that opportunity because they're coming out of Division II schools and below all the way down to NAIA schools, and they didn't know the correct path to get on the NFL draft board. So I do a lot of teaching on this show, trying to educate my street free agents. So we're going to talk a little bit about our topic today, and I'll tell you why I got to, you know, pick this particular subject. But in about 10 minutes, we will be doing our street free agent athlete spotlight, and Michael will be telling us a little bit about his journey from high school to college, college to pro, high school to college, college on his way to pro. So we're looking for good things from him this year. Hopefully we can get him a spot within either, you know, pro developmental leagues like the Fan Control Football League. That's one stop then, but we're also trying to get him an XFL, USFL workout as well. We're in the process of doing those three things, but we'll see where he lands. But he will be on the field and not on the couch coming next spring. So the reason why I picked this topic, Star Where You Stand, is because a lot of times guys will, you know, they get offended when I say the word street free agent. You know, it just when it comes down to it, it's not an offensive word when I say you're a street free agent. That's what you are. You know, that's what you are. That's not an ugly word. If it makes you feel some type of way, I apologize, but that's what you are. I don't use the word undrafted free agent unless you were on the draft board. Undrafted free agent is a term they use for guys that were on the NFL draft board. And they didn't get drafted, or guys that, you know, or they'll say you are a free agent contract signing because, you know, they knew of you or whatever the case may be, and they, you know, signed you. So, well, let me correct that. I'll say it like this. If you are an undrafted free agent, I'll just leave it at that. You have something to do with the NFL, meaning the NFL could have selected you at any time. So, and other than that, you know, the typical free agent is somebody who's already played in the league, you know, they're switching teams or whatever, this, that, and the other, and they're signing another deal because their current deal expired, and they're going into another deal with another team that's considered a free agent. I use the word street free agent for all my minor league pro developmental players because, you know, basically when you don't get picked, you are kind of like on the street waiting for your next opportunity, trying to find a way to play. And I see my man Michael Miller is in Q2902. I'll be coming to you, Mike. Well, I'm going to count you in when I get ready to come to you at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I'm going to count you in just like that. But stay on the line. We're going to bring you in at 15 minutes after the hour. So just listen in for the next 7 minutes. But, yeah, so the reason why I did this topic today, Star Where You Stand, is because guys got to understand, as a street free agent, when the opportunity comes for you to play, you got to play. And that's in every sport. I've done all sports, basketball, baseball, and football. Eventually, I'm going to be starting bringing some basketball and baseball athletes that I've dealt with on the line because I want to catch up on what they're doing from when I dealt with them a couple of years ago. Hopefully, they're playing somewhere. But I want everybody to understand the stories that we put up on this show. Like today, again, we got Michael Miller, defensive back out of West Georgia. He's going to be coming on here telling us his journey from high school to college, college on the way to pro, and kind of like seeing where he is today and telling the people that's going to be telling all the athletes that's going to be coming out of college this next season, you know, this next season coming up here very soon, they're going to graduate, and I'm trying to equip them with the knowledge from people that has walked this journey already, whether you are a seasoned pro vet or whether you are a rookie street free agent this year. I'm just trying to basically get enough information out here so people can quit saying that's playing ball at the NAIA level, NCAA Division II and III level. I'm just tired of people saying that. Well, nobody told me. I didn't know. I didn't know about it. And what I'm noticing is that it's not so much that nobody didn't tell you what to do. It's the fact that when I put these episodes out, half of the time when I'm promoting them on Twitter, promoting them on Facebook, you guys are not clicking the link to listen. because you're afraid that I'm going to tell you something unpleasant. You're afraid that I'm going to tell you that your shot of making it to the NFL based on your current situation in school that you're going to, you're probably not going to be on the NFL draft board, and it's going to be hard getting you an NFL camp invite. It's not the fact that I'm on here lying to people or trying to scare you or trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to let you know what your journey is going to be like as a street free agent after college. You need to take every opportunity to play. I remember I was sending guys, even in basketball, I was sending guys stuff about certain teams and certain leagues. You know, you got the American Basketball Association. You got the TBL, the basketball league. And a lot of people don't understand the basketball league is ran by David Magley. David Magley was a high-level pro player with the what was it, the Continental Basketball Association, the CBA. And the Albany Patroons is who he played for. But David Magley also played with some high-level NBA season pros, or eventually became NBA season pros while he was playing basketball in the CBA. I don't remember correctly if David got his opportunity in the NBA, but at one time the Continental Basketball Association was you know, almost like the XFL is for the NFL. But I would tell guys, go out there and do these workouts for the ABA, the TBL, you know. And I would also send guys out to, you know, do the workouts for the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz to do open trials, and I had a great relationship with their general manager in the NBA, Utah Jazz. Bart Thomas, if I'm remembering right, off the top of my head. I had a great relationship with him networking. I mean, we didn't sit down and drink together, but I had a great relationship with him when I was sending players out there. I would send players out there, and they walk up to him and shake his hand and say, hey, Romero told me to come out here. You had my film. And he verified, yep, he already sent me your stuff. Let me see what you got. See, that's what I do. When I send somebody out to a workout, I don't care what level of it is, I make sure that that people understand that I make sure that my guys understand when they go out there, they're just not going out there to do a workout. I'm sorry, they're not going out there to do an open tryout. They're going out there to do a workout. They're part of the open tryout. But at the same time, because I've already opened the door for you, so my contact can keep his eyes on you. And Michael can allude to that when I bring him on the air. He called in and everything like that. And I was able to basically help him come on board and everything, like go out there and do his workout in front of my good friend John Jenkins. And he was able to go up to Coach Jenkins and shake his hand and everything and say, hey, Romero told me, he told you about me and stuck my tape and stuff to you. And he was able to verify that. I don't send guys out to just do these workouts and stuff like that, and then they don't know anybody. Ain't nobody got their eyes on them. They're just like everybody else out there running around. I don't do that. When I saw Michael T's workout, although there wasn't a lot of people at that particular workout, I still made, and that was a good thing because Coach Jenkins didn't have that many people to look at. He was able to look at Michael. So, and we'll talk about that when we come on air. You know, I think it was only about five to seven people showing up at his workout, but I tell guys, that ain't a bad thing because you can get all the attention on you. And Coach Jenkins called me back and told me that he did very well. He did very well. Speaking of the last name, Jenkins, I want to give a big shout-out before I go into our athlete spotlight of the day. I want to give a big shout-out to my man, Josh Jenkins, defensive back with the Orlando Predators, NAL. He hit me up yesterday and gave me some great news. He got his XFL draft pool invitation. I'm so happy for that young man because he's been under my management since he started playing pro ball. And he's played in the IFL, NAL. He's been in AAF camp, XFL camp, made a 53-man roster for the DC Defenders, but COVID-19 shut him down for the XFL when they shut down in 2020. But I just want to say big shout-out to Josh Jenkins, defensive back, Orlando Predators out of the NAL, and I'll tell him to listen to that at the 8:14 mark. And then plus he has several CFL offers on the table as well for September if he chooses to take that route. So it was a blessed day for us yesterday just to get that news from him. But anyway, congratulations, Josh Jenkins, Army West Point, and also defensive back, NAL, Orlando Predators. All right. I got also on the line. He looked like 5573. I think that was going to be my consultation. I forgot my man's name, but I see you at 5573. Either that's going to be my guy I was going to do my consultation, or that may be my man DC. But we'll see. I think that might be DC, but we'll get DC on the line if that's him, and we got some stuff to talk about the Baltimore Ravens and whatnot. But anyway, it's 8:15. Let's get Michael Miller, defensive back out of the University of West Georgia, rookie street free agent. We're going to get him on the line. Michael, I see you at 2902, and I'm going to count you in at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How's it
going,
my man?
Going well.
Welcome to Stogies and Beer, man. Welcome to Stogies and Beer. This is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback, man. So glad to have you on the show to come on here and tell your story.
Yeah, it's good to be here, man.
Yeah, man. And the good thing about this show, you know, whether people are listening or not listening, this Blog Talk Radio platform, they record all these shows. So I already got everything set up for to send out to different coaches and everything to hear you, hear your interview in case they, you know, I try to tell people you can literally get signed off of this show. You literally get signed off of this show. Once you come on this show, we got your whole story. I add it to your resume and everything and send all the stuff out. And then, you know, if people listen to your interview, you can get signed off this radio show. And I just try to make sure you guys ain't sitting at home coming next spring, you playing ball.
No, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the opportunity, you know, just taking the time out to hear the call. And I'm hoping for the best. You know, I'm as committed to it as you are, so I'm glued into, you know, whatever you have for me and, you know, whatever questions I need to answer.
All right, man. So what I'm going to do is real quick so we can get off into it because I know you got other things to do. It's probably going to interviews usually take about 30 minutes or so. But I wanted you to just basically, man, kind of like tell everybody who you are and then, you know, kind of like tell us your story coming from out of high school, what stopped you from getting that big-time FBS Division One offer like Alabama or LSU or Georgia. And then from college, wherever you ended up for college, what stopped you from getting the NFL opportunity and being on the NFL draft board, whether it was pro day not being offered, no scouts were coming or whatever the case may be, coach wasn't really pushing your film out, whatever the case may be. I'm trying to get your story so all these college kids that's going to be graduating in the fall, I'm trying to just make sure that they understand the path of a street free agent at this point. So go ahead. I'm going to let you get off into it.
Yeah, so I'm from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Went to Arabian Mountain High School. Played football ever since I was like 5 years old. But crazy thing was when I got to ninth grade, you know, it was kind of a reality shock for me. Ended up taking my freshman year off of high school. Joined the team in the spring, you know, played majority receiver. Sophomore, I was on the varsity team. Junior, I became a starter. Senior year, that's when I made the transition to safety as well as wide receiver. Was never really like, you know, extremely tall or extremely built. I would say probably about 5'10", 5'11", 170. Always had, you know, athletic ability, you know, great hands, and finding my way to the end zone, helping my team contribute. Was voted a captain as a senior in high school. Season was pretty good. We first team to make the playoffs, and what kind of held me back is the practice for the last game of the season. I sprained my ankle earlier in the season. You know, I was nursing it, just trying to come back. And in practice one day, I went up for an interception. Landed a little wrong, and a receiver landed on top of me. Ended up breaking my collarbone. Had to get surgery. Missed the last game of the season. Missed the, you know, playoffs. It was hard for me, but you know, I felt like with the work that I got done, I was, you know, able to get a college education paid for based off athletic ability. didn't have much looks coming out of high school. I want to say it was a slow year for 2017, especially our class with how successful we were with the talent that we had. We just didn't see, you know, the signing or the recognition that we thought we deserved. The biggest biggest recruit ended up going to Youngstown State. We felt like we had at least 71 kids. But I ended up, you know, accepting a position at Catawba College, a small D2 in North Carolina, Salisbury, North Carolina, mainly because I just wanted to get away from family, you know, wanted to get some time of my own. And, you know, they were giving me an opportunity where I could play as a freshman. So I stepped in, you know, little Salisbury. It's a very small town. I mean, you could pass through the campus. You're over one speed bump. And if you look at your phone, you won't even realize you went through a college campus. probably about, man, 1,300 students in total, and half of them were commuters. So it kind of felt like a JUCO. But as a freshman, my freshman year, I started about like 8-9 games. We ended up going 9-2. Got snubbed from the playoffs. I lost a few regional games that was kind of important. That was heartbreaking. But as a freshman, that's when I kind of realized, I was like, okay, you know, you can play on the college level regardless of, you know, the competition. Yeah, it's Division II. But, you know, me playing that position of safety, even coming from just a year of it, I learned the craft of it, learned more in the game. And I appreciated it. So sophomore year, took a bigger step, led the team in tackles. We took a step back as a team, just, you know, record-wise. And it hurt. It was hard putting so much effort in. I felt like I didn't get the recognition. I'm top five in the conference with tackles, no all conference. But it was those type of stuff that, you know, things like that, that kind of kept me driven. You know, keep on chasing a little bit more. And regardless of whatever happened in the end, you know, whatever happened as a result of my work, like, I can know that, you know, I put my best foot forward and everything. So after my sophomore season at Catawba, that's when the transfer portal, you know, first started popping. And, you know, it was different for me being away from home. And I wanted to take the opportunity to play a little bit better football. So I decided I was going to come back to Georgia. Main options were like Georgia State, Kennesaw State, you know, West Georgia, you know, possibly Valdosta. But I knew transferring to a D1, I'd probably have to sit out a year. So I wanted to just come into a role where it was, you know, something that kind of fit me. They understood my work ethic, understood my drive. And, you know, I kind of walked at West Georgia spring practice one day, just walked on the field and said, hey, coach, look, I'm from Catawba College trying to transfer. I've got the GPA to transfer where, you know, if I just walk on, I'll have Hope Scholarship. So I don't even need your money. I just want a chance to play. And, you know, they accepted me with open arms, worked really hard throughout the summer, you know, gained a relationship real, real good with the team. Junior year played, I started probably about 5-6 games. It was definitely a bigger transition, but ended up leading the team in turnovers. And, you know, just playing a big role in that season. COVID year rolled around. We didn't have a season at all. We ended up, you know, basically just having two spring practices, one in the fall and one in the spring. So that was another little setback. But I was grateful that I would get another year. It felt like a red shirt year for me, something I never had. So I was able to craft, you know, build relationships with teammates. And, you know, we've got a new defensive coordinator at the time. So kind of get a little bit of better understanding of, you know, how his mind works, the type of play style that he likes and how fast we need to play. Senior year rolled around, you know, adversity continued to hit, but I was blessed to, you know, be voted team captain. You know, COVID rolled around in the middle of camp, almost missed the first game. And for the longest, you know, since I was voted captain, I felt the pressure, like, you know, you have to do something. Every day, it's like, you know, people, their eyes on you. Like, I felt like I couldn't make mistakes. And I feel like for the first half of my season, just me putting that weight on my shoulders, it affected my play. I had to shake back mentally, you know, and just learning how to take life with the ups and downs. So I bounced back. After we played number one team in the nation, we beat West Florida. I had a pretty good game then. And I think around that time, that's kind of like when my whole season changed, you know. Things started going, you know, the ball started rolling my way a couple of times. You know, I was able to get in the end zone, help the team make some, you know, great plays. Senior year, we ended up going 9-3. second round of the playoffs, you know, got knocked off. And, you know, it was a good opportunity. Like, granted, you know, you want that national championship, but I understood that, you know, it was a culture thing that we needed to mold and kind of set a foundation of what we wanted West Georgia to be. And, you know, I understood, not necessarily like a sacrifice, but sometimes you got to lead the way to show others, you know, what they need to do, how good they can be. And I was glad I was a part of that because, I mean, West Georgia has some great guys that are coming out. And, you know, I feel like they really paid attention to, you know, the steps that I took, you know, the way that I attacked the day. And I know that they'll be all right. But, you know, what kind of stopped me from the NFL is D2 is very very under the radar. You know, it's a lot of people sleep on them. But also I know, you know, coming out of West Georgia, there have been a lot of guys get picked up, signed. So the NFL, CFL, you know, we get attention. And, you know, like same deal kind of coming out of high school. It felt like a little bit slower year. Especially dealing with, you know, how they were going to do everything post-COVID. We had a pro day. Pro day went decent. You know, got a few calls from, you know, a few CFL guys, did a little workout. But, you know, nothing seemed to pop for me immediately. And that's why I'm just so grateful to, you know, have gotten in touch with you. You've put me in communications with good people. You know, and people are always speak very highly of you. It's always reassuring to know that I have good people in my corner. And, you know, I'm hopeful for that anybody that, you know, they get their eyes in front of me. I can show them who I am, my work ethic, you know, my athletic ability. Because, you know, a lot of times all it takes is just, you know, somebody seeing it and say, oh, man, I didn't even know they had kids coming out like this at D2. When the NFL, you know, it's covered with guys that are, you know, diamonds in the rough. And, you know, I just want to keep my head down, keep working, trust where I am right now, trust the people I have working for me, man, and trust that God, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. That's the long answer.
I hear you, man. We kind of met through a kind of like a weird way, man. My baseball contact, which is Mike McGinnis, we connected a couple years ago. He always helps me with all my baseball stuff because, you know, he does that. You know, he's a baseball agent. And you were telling me that one of his clients, which is a friend of yours, y'all was talking, and I guess, you know, you was like, hey, can Mike help me? And then mm-hmm. I guess when you and him talk, I remember you telling me, he said, I don't do football, but I got two or three people you can call that I know can help you. And then you wind up talking to me, and then we kind of like popped off from that point. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so Mike is a good guy.
Yeah, that's basically my best friend, the guy that's, you know, dealing with Mike. And like I said, you know, God's been, you know, great, you know, I had a tremendous favor because for me to just reach out to a friend and say, hey, man, I just kind of need some help, you know, but he's on the baseball side of the world. And once, you know, his agent gets in touch, we have, you know, we get in contact, and, you know, it's good to just meet genuine people that want to see you do well regardless. And he put me, he led me your way. And like you said, man, things have been great ever since. I can't complain about anything so far.
Yeah, so it's like for all the high school kids out there, and I do this because, like I said, you know, I'm definitely far removed from high school, but I try to help the high school kids too. Was this because of your grades or anything like that coming out of high school that also stopped you from going, like, to a bigger school? Was it grade-wise or just, you know, it just kind of, like, happened that way? What was the grade situation like for you?
It definitely wasn't great. I graduated high school with about a 3.4 GPA. I got a 22 on the ACT, I think a 1440 on the SAT. I had good test scores, good grades, good GPA. I think it was just one of those things that kind of happened. Especially, you know, for me trying to come out as a receiver, not being that, you know, 6'2", 6'3", guy, you know, blazing speed. it was easy to just get overlooked. And, you know, our senior year, you know, it was a little slower. Like my senior year at receiver, I had 28 receptions, you know, 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. But there's some kids that are getting that, like, you know, 4 games into the season. So
right.
it was, you know, from the type of style that we played, you know, it just wasn't in the cards for me. And, you know, everybody has those D1 aspirations, but what was humbling for me was realizing that, okay, man, you know, you're not too big to play anywhere. Somebody's giving you the opportunity to play football, especially when, you know, you don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to come out of pocket. Like, you know, they're trusting that your talent, you know, they'll put in money for your talent. So I did that, and I had a lot of friends, man, that went D1. And, you know, they're rotting on the sideline or, you know, rotting in special teams because, you know, they're political things. And, you know, sometimes just people can't handle the D1 drive. But, you know, coming out of high school, I wasn't say that, you know, the grades messed me up or it was anything in my control that I could have done to put me in a better position. I think, you know, what God had for me, you know, he had for me. And looking back, I wouldn't trade it for anything because although I played Division II, I played with guys that are, you know, in the league, you know, guys that have got, you know, have a lot of accolades, gotten a lot of work done, and I feel like my game has been respected by them all. And that kind of gives me reassurance that, okay, not only are you good enough to play the game, but other people recognize it as well. And you know, it was just something that kind of just gave me a little bit more confidence, a little bit more of a reason why to keep going and see how far I can take it, man, especially at my young age. You know, it's the land of opportunity.
Yeah, man, it's like speaking of West Georgia, my man, I think you told me you know my man, LV, LaRonji Bassan. Am I correct? Or do you know of him? Have you ever heard of him?
What's the name again?
His name is LaRonji Bassan. He might have been there a little bit before you, but
yeah.
He's a dog. He's out of West Georgia, and he's a dog though, man. In the Champions Indoor Football League, I was just checking up on him mm-hmm. this past season. And the funny thing about it, I tell a lot of free agents, you know, you guys got to understand, you got to find ways to play. You just got to get on the football field to get your opportunity. And LaRonji. Funny story about him coming out of West Georgia. He had good film and everything like that. And I think he wound up going to the that's when they had the Alliance of American Football, the AAF. So he was supposed to be doing something for the Birmingham team, working out with the Birmingham team for the AAF. Something happened with that. He wound up going to Canada. He done a couple workouts. Well, he was in Canada for one team for like about 2 or 3 weeks. I think he said he was up there for a month in Canada. Then, you know, mm-hmm. they cut him and sent him home because it was just too many DBs. So then, you know, he came back down. I think he wound up playing for the Atlanta Havoc. That's one of y'all American Arena League teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Atlanta Havoc. So he played for them and won a championship with them, had good film. And I started asking, you know, started trying to help him. And there were some different coaches that knew about him, too. They knew about him. I remember one coach said, you know, LaRonji's a killer. But it's just, you know, even when people know that you have a reputation of being a great player, it's still a struggle, man. And then, you know, he wound up getting mm-hmm. with me. And then I wound up getting him on with I wound up sending this tape out to a couple different places. And, you know, he bounced around. But I'm glad, you know, him coming from West Georgia like you did. He finally found a home this year, and I think he's going to be moving up to the IFL from the CIFL to the IFL, so that's going to be a good look. But you mentioned also about West Florida. I got a guy. He won that Division One the Division II championship with West Florida about two years ago, that's David Richardson. And David Richardson, I was able to help him get out here to come to Hub Camp. From Hub Camp, you know, he went played overseas, and then he's playing down in Mexico, and he's trying to get his XFL opportunity, just like you doing with the guy I put you with for the XFL opportunity and the USFL opportunity. So they, you know, it's just, you know, just speaking of West Florida, I know your route, but I was able to knock mm-hmm. those guys off. That's a pretty good team.
Oh yeah, that and that's I think what a lot of people overlook, man. The GSC, the Gulf South Conference, you know, with West Georgia, Valdosta, West Florida, West Alabama. I consider that conference as like, you know, the SEC or Division II. A lot of the time, you're seeing, you know, Valdosta was just in the national championship last year. You know, they've won it. I think they won it 3 years ago, but they've been like three times in maybe the last 5 years. West Florida just won the national championship, like you said. And, you know, West Florida's a newer program. You know, I think they've only been around maybe like 6-7 years. But it's a lot of stuff that rolls through there. You know, a lot of guys that, you know, are pretty elite get chances at the next level. And, you know, it really allows you to, you know, it's a step up from, you know, the Catawba. You see a different level of competition. And, you know, as much dirt as people want to throw at Division II, man, it gets real down there. I've seen a lot of D1 transfers that, you know, think that just because they came from, you know, a pretty school that has a nice name, that you'll get on the field and, you know, it's a culture shock. It's like, hey, man, you know, these guys down here, they're playing for real as well. And, it, you know, life ain't as easy as it's not all peaches and cream. You know, some guys think they'll come down there and just dump. And it's like, man, look, these guys out here, they're trying to get a shot too. This is just, you know, a lot of times it is the story of, you know, grades or, you know, at the Division I level. You know, they have a clock that runs out after, I think, about 10, 12 semesters. So a lot of the guys that, you know, already have their degree or went through injuries and their clock expired from D1, they'll come down to D2 thinking that, you know, it's a piece of cake. And, you know, they get hit in the mouth. And it's like, ooh, I ain't know it's like this down here.
That also, not to cut you off, but that also, I tell a lot of guys, that also messes them up too, because everybody know what they ask me every time I send their stuff out to a scout or an agent, you know, a bigger agency than what I do. They'll say, "Man, why did he drop down?" I'm like, "Man, sometimes these guys get in trouble. Sometimes these guys run out of eligibility, and they feel like they got their 1 year left, and they take it. But when you go down to D2 from the D1, they criticize that. I mean, so many politics, man, in the NFL. But you know, D2 produced. Who was that? Malcolm Butler out of West Alabama, out your conference, Butler, I believe, for the Patriots. You remember him, the one that got that interception and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He came out of West Alabama.
Tyreek Hill was at West Alabama for a little while. Once he left Oklahoma State, you know, he went to West Alabama. I think he was only there for like a year or so. But, I mean, you definitely see – No, Tyra Adams, Alex Armour, those are two guys that came out of West Georgia. Both of them are still on NFL contracts. What's another, you know, bigger name? Kenny Moore. Kenny Moore went to Valdosta, man. He was the number one nickel corner this year in his position in the whole NFL. And I think he's been a testament of, you know, just the possibilities. Because I remember his senior year at Valdosta, that was my senior year in high school. And when I took my visit, you know, it was kind of, all the attention was kind of crafted around him. And to see that, you know, he not only made it out of, you know, a Division II school, but he's been extremely successful. It's like, man, watching his top 100 video, Tom Brady is giving him, you know, the recognition he deserves. You know, like, hey, man, you know, keep doing your thing. I've been watching you the past 4 years. And that's one of the things, like, man, you know, this guy came from, not in this, like, kind of the same position I came from, which is being a Division II kid, regardless of what it is that kind of held him back from coming out of high school. But he took the route, and, man, he's doing real successful in the league. So it's possible, man. You just got to put the work in and, you know, have the right people in your corner telling you, you know, being honest with you. And trust that, you know, where God has you right now, it's not the, you know, final destination, but it's all about, you know, preparing you for what's coming up.
One last question before we get you up out of here and let you tell everybody this last little, how they can contact you and everything like that. But before we go, for the college kids that's out there that's just going into basically their freshman year of college, okay, would you say, and they're going to an NAIA school or D2 or D3 school, would you suggest that they, after about 2 years playing at that level, that they seriously start trying to transfer out to a D1, even if it's just like a FCS school, even if it's a non-playoff FCS school, if they can just transfer out and have D1 on their resume, do you think they have a better shot at the league, or should they stay put at the D2 level or D3 level or NAIA school level?
A lot of it is got to be self-recognition. Because at the end of the day, man, regardless of what level that you play at, man, if you're dominating the NFL, they'll find you. And, you know, with all these different leagues, man, it's possible to find placement, you know, in one of these leagues. Transferring always sounds good, but like we talked about, man, you know, things are so political, man. You got those D1 schools that say they signed a certain class and they, you know, put their money into a certain amount of freshmen or, you know, people that are coming in. And now you might be a stud and you came in, but the thing is, they're going to give this guy that they put, you know, their money into, they're trying to build around, they're going to put him ahead of you regardless of how good he is or how good you are. And I've seen that happen a lot of and, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, transferred hoping that, you know, that was the answer for them. And, you know, it kind of doesn't go off, you know, how they think it will. Now, granted, you know, I've seen the other side of that as well. I've seen a receiver transfer from Wingate. He's at South Carolina, University of South Carolina, Gamecocks. He's playing well. So, honestly, I say it's perspective. And, you know, like I said, you just got to be real with yourself. Most of the time you stick it out at the place that you're at. You know, those are the people that, you know, believe in you, trust in you, buy into you, and they'll, you know, try to help make sure that you're taken care of after. But at the same time, you know, you control what you can control. Like if you go out there and you dominate on whatever playing field that you're on, you know, there's nothing to find. You know, the NFL's taking D3 guys, invited to the Reese's Cup, Reese's Bowl, getting opportunities, get drafted. Like the NAIA, D2, FCS, FBS, you know, all of it is one football on 120 yards. It's 55 and a half inches, you know, wide. Like it's all the same game, just different people playing it. You really just got to go out there and say, hey, look, this is where I'm at. This is what, you know, the opportunity I have in front of me, and, you know, take that, man. Once you realize that, you know, you have everything that you need in your life, man, you don't try to, you know, want for more, want for bigger and better just because it's bigger and better, and you appreciate what you have right in front of you, man, that's when God can bless you with, you know, the big things that you want, that shot at the big league because you stayed down, you took care of your business where you were at, man, and you dominated. And like I said, once you dominate, man, that's when they get those eyes on you.
Okay. All right, man, before you get up out of here, go ahead and tell everybody how they can contact you. Well, first of all, before you get into that, before you go, if it's any NFL scouts that will listen to this episode, coaches that will listen to this episode, personnel people that will listen to the episode, tell them in the NFL what type of player that they're getting in Michael Miller.
Oh, man, energetic ball hawk, passionate, like just so much love for the game, man. I really, it's hard to see myself doing anything else other than playing the game of football, man. Not only because of, you know, how much I love it, but because of how much I see it has to deal with life and how much I appreciate it. And I mean, I'm just a hard worker, man. Work ethic is something I strive myself with, you know. And man, I just got a passion to go out there and not only see myself be successful, but see the people around me be successful, man. I'm a team player, natural born leader, and you know, I love to compete and I hate losing. Like, you know, I can't stress that enough. I hate losing, and that's one of the reasons why, man. I kind of instilled myself with the work ethic that I have, because if I know that I need to take care of XYZ so I can be in a better position on game day, then I'm going to take care of XYZ and make sure I look at the rest of the alphabet as well. Cause I mean, that's how much I understand the preparedness that goes into it. And you know, how the love and passion that I play with, man, that's this kind of stuff that just carries it over. So man, it's, anybody listening, man, you're picking up a kid that is special, not just because, man, you know, I'm saying that myself because I'm wired differently. I'm passionate, and I got reasons why. And as soon as I get my opportunity, man, whoever takes the chance will be appreciative of it because I can come in and better any environment just because with my mindset, you know, my work ethic and my drive. And like I said, my passion for the game, my passion for people. And I think that can't hold me back. Wherever I go, I know that I will better any situation as I continue to better myself.
All right. We appreciate that. One question I forgot to ask you really fast is that what was your major in college, and are you using that major right now to work and fund your career? Because, you know, as a street free agent, you're paying for everything. You're paying for this opportunity, that opportunity. You got to travel. Or are you just working a job or whatever? Or do you just have family support to get you through this process?
Yeah, I graduated with an accounting degree. And right now I'm working at FedEx. So, you know, I've been blessed with, you know, just the opportunity. We've had some connections. You know, I want to get more into real estate. I decided that was like a, you know, it's a business decision, more of a career thing. And that's basically, you know, a lot of networking. So I'm building my network as I get into that. But, you know, as of right now, you know, I got the family support while I'm living at home, you know, allowing me to just, you know, stack my bread, work out, train, and, you know, be ready for a shot so that, you know, once you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. But, yeah, just I don't really like accounting, honestly.
Okay.
But I knew it was a good degree, and it's just better to understand your financials when, you know, you maximize your money when you're in control of your own money. So I did it to, you know, really understand the ins and outs of, you know, how business works or, you know, how funds are arranged. But as of right now, man, you know, just FedEx and grinding, that's what my schedule looks like. And until I get that phone call, man, it's, you know, keeping my head down, staying prayed up, and, you know, keep working like I'm on the team so that, you know, once I am on the team, there's no switch up for me.
I got you. Well, I'll have my man DC who's standing by on the line. When you go back and you listen to the recording of this show, I'll have him shout out some different stuff that he do. Since you off into business like that, they got different. He does a lot of different services that got to do with making money. Maybe you can listen to him and find out more about what he do to add some extra dough in your pocket while you're on this journey until you get that bag from the NFL. But before you go out here, tell everybody how they can find you on social media, give everybody your social media handles in case they want to contact you and offer you a contract or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And tell everybody how they can find you out there in social media world.
Yeah, my Instagram and Twitter handle are KXNGMIKE. So it's basically King Mike, but the I in King has an X instead. It's the same on Instagram and Twitter, KXNGMIKE. My email address is MIKEANTMILL, MikeAntMill@gmail.com. Phone number 678-464-2902. You know, and then if they have your contact as well, you know, they can reach out to you. And my phone is on vibrate. It's on 24/7 waiting for that call from, you know, wherever, you know, and I'm glued to the phone, excited to answer, tell my story, and, you know, ready to showcase whatever I need to showcase for whoever.
All right, man. Well, we want to thank you for having you for coming on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. And we'll be in touch with you, man. I'm still waiting on to get some word back on this XFL opportunity from our contact that we deal with. And he's also doing some stuff now, getting ready for the USFL draft pool. So we got options. So we'll see where we land at, man, for next spring. And but you definitely won't be sitting on the couch, that's for sure. But we want to thank again. We want to thank Michael Miller again, defensive back out of West Georgia, for coming on to the show. All you scouts out there, definitely contact me or contact him, and let's see what if we can do some business. Michael, I'm gonna let you get up out of here. You have a great day, man. Thank you.
All right, you do the same. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, now have a good day. Bye bye.
All right.
All right. For all of you just tuning in again, welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. Speaking of professional armchair quarterbacks, I got my man DC on another line. He's been waiting in queue for a minute listening to the interview. But DC, I'm a go to you. And based on what Michael Miller just said about his financial degree and everything like that in accounting and what his aspirations are, speak to when you go back and listen to this, speak to what he can possibly do within your organization and whatnot. Give him that little bit of information, and then we'll get off into some sports once you're done with that. But, all right, DC, I'm counting you in now. 5573. Go ahead.
Thanks for having me on. And, yes, I definitely will reach out to him. I think you said King Mike instead of the I. It's an X.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely reach out to him and try to find him and explain what my company can do and how we can help get him going, and so he could, keep pursuing his dream. But I definitely, a lot of folks, man, it's good to hear his story. A lot of folks, he's right. I thought he was spot on. If you are good, no matter what level, you will get noticed. The most important thing, in my opinion, is getting on the field. And so the guy that gets drafted by Duke to play on their football team and he thinks it's a good move because it's the ACC, but he never gets on the field, I think he's doing himself a disservice.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he's not on the field. And just because he went to Duke for 3 years or 4 years and played college football, he was only in practice of spring games, you're not going to get drafted, So I think it's smart.
It's funny you say that, man, because it's a guy, no lie. It's a guy that I was helping do some managerial services for this past year. That was his story. He actually played at Duke, and he was doing a lot of special team stuff and alternating at his position, getting playing time as a DB, but he wound up having to switch out and go to Georgia State and left Georgia State and went to, for whatever reason, left Georgia State and wound up going to West Georgia. And, I mean, he literally had what you just said. He literally had that journey, man. But he wound up getting a workout in the CFL, but I think they sent him home, but I don't know what happened after that, if he got called back up or what the case may be. But go ahead, finish your thought on that.
Yeah, and I think, what a lot of guys forget is you got to remember, and this is sometimes where mentoring come in, you got to remember what are your goals. And I think in our community, in the African-American community, that's what we're short of sometimes, I think, is mentorship to say, hey, remind you of what your goals are. Because if you're not getting there, then you're not growing, right? If you're, if you're just a third-year guy on Duke's football team, and they are 500 in the Atlantic Coast Conference Coastal Division, and they're not even competing for the ACC championship, but you're not on the field, then it doesn't really matter. You're just kind of helping some other coach's roster and his agenda, but you're not really helping your agenda, And again, if you're just trying to do this because you just want to play, that's one thing. But if you have dreams of going to a different level, then that's not going to be in your best interest.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. It is. The time is 8:54 Pacific Coast time. This is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. DC, real quick, let's get off into this game last night. I want to ask you something, man, about the Baltimore Ravens. What's the possibilities that the Baltimore Ravens, with this contract thing going on with Lamar Jackson, how likely is it that Huntley can just go ahead on? I mean, he's a prototype. He's a replica. Why can't they just put him in that place for cheap and just let Lamar Jackson hunt for another deal? Just release him.
Honestly,
is that likely?
It is likely. And that is why I actually think Lamar's not helping himself by getting a new deal because of the fact that, you know, not leaving himself open means the franchise can go in another direction. I mean, if Lamar wants hypothetically $300 million guaranteed, and the team's like, man, we don't want to give you that, you know, then he, you know, he could. They could do the franchise option, you know, this time next year. And then if they still don't come to agreement, let him go, and they got Tyler Huntley. And the thing is Huntley did beat Lamar when they were in high school 101.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
You know, his numbers were better in high school. He didn't have the college route. You know, he had some challenges going through the college route, but he got to the pros. You know, and now he's in the pros.
If I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, he did show last night that he can actually throw a little bit better than Lamar. Am I correct, or was I seeing that wrong?
No, you are absolutely correct. He does have a better ball spin on his ball, a tighter spiral. He is overall a better thrower than Lamar, a better passer. So you're spot on with that. So yeah, and that's the whole thing. He, you know, if you're the Ravens, you're kind of in a great position, right? You have Lamar mm-hmm. in the last year of his contract. You get to see if he can play himself into a big deal salary, and if he doesn't and he gets injured, then you have Tyler Huntley behind. That's the same type of player. They're practically the same age. Again, they played together in high school, so there's no real age difference there. And you have the same kind of guy who is in some ways a better quarterback, may not be a better athlete, but a better quarterback. And then, you know, and you have him on the cheap. So you can let him go, Lamar. You can let him walk and still have no arguably, no drop-off, as well as be able to sign other players around him.
Free agents, other high-level free agents.
Yeah.
You divide that contract up for other high-level free agents. They ain't got to pay Huntley nothing. They ain't got to pay him nothing.
Yeah.
They can get him around about a $300,000 signing bonus or something like that, and you know, break up, and that's your guaranteed money, your signing bonus, that's yours, and then get, you know, and then pay him whatever they're going to pay him per game, and you know, and they can change that up at any time when they bring on more people, you know. But the thing about it, they can get him on the cheap, basically what I'm saying, they can get him on cheap. This is actually, man, when I looked at that yesterday, I said, man, this is a dangerous time for Lamar. I mean, I understand what he's doing, don't get me wrong, I ain't saying he don't deserve the money, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's dangerous to have that guy as a backup, and then the owner sitting there looking like, wait a minute, hold up. Let me reconsider this here. We're going to hold out on paying that. We'll talk about this at the end of this season or whatever the case may be. What if he gets hurt during the season?
That's right. Now, check this out. So Huntley signed a one-year extension for $895,000. So he's not even making $1 million. Okay,
right.
And so at the end of this season, he's still a restricted free agent, meaning the Ravens own the rights to re-sign him, right? They own the rights to he's not going to just hit the market. The Ravens can still offer the first option or even match an option, because the Steelers actually reached out to Huntley before the season started. As soon as they reached out with a contract tender, the Ravens matched it, right? So essentially mm-hmm. You know, Huntley's in a great spot, but so are the Ravens, because they could offer, you know, you figure if Lamar's deal currently, his rookie deal is, let's say, $5 million, they could give Huntley Lamar's deal, and Huntley just, you know, he went from less than $1 million a year to $5 million a year, hypothetically. He had a huge raise. And now he's a starter, and he still, you know, got himself out there, right? And this is all from a guy that, you know, wasn't even drafted, basically, right? So, this is a win-win for him, you know, and he's only 24, right? So, he's got a tremendous amount of options available to him. So, yeah, if you're Tyler Huntley, you're like, I don't care what Lamar do. I'm good. right? Either I'm going to get picked up by somebody else, or I'm going to keep getting pay raises as your backup, or if you get hurt, it's on me. And then even Tyler Huntley's playing for a new job with another team next year in the event Lamar does get hurt. But, of course, the Ravens aren't going to let him go, right? Not a 24-year-old with 3 years NFL experience, and clearly he can play.
This reminds me of back when Tom Brady was behind doggone Drew Bledsoe, or one of them.
Yeah,
That type of scenario. Although we really didn't know what Brady was, we knew he went to Michigan. But I mean, it really could be that dangerous type of situation if Lamar gets hurt for some reason, tweaks an ankle, got to sit him down, and then Huntley comes in and he got the hot hand. It's probably going to be one of them situations where they're like, hey, man, you know, if ain't no deal been struck and they ain't really paying Lamar yet, they could just be like, he got a hot hand. We're going into the playoffs. Just stay ready. And then, you know, you got that, well, damn, I want to get back on the field. This is my – I'm the starter. Well, on paper, you know what I'm saying?
That's right. I totally agree. And so that's why I said this is a huge gamble for Lamar. I personally wouldn't have done it. I would have went with the – at a bare minimum, I would have extended my rookie deal. At a bare minimum, I just would have extended my rookie deal. So that way, I just keep some money in my – I give myself at least a guaranteed option for next year. So maybe I would do like a one-year extension with a player option, right? So that way I give myself the flexibility. But I wouldn't have necessarily just said I'm going to ride this contract out.
All right. Well, let's stay on Baltimore. But last Friday, I think we had a discussion. It was something that I saw on TV that kind of interested me with the Cleveland Browns. And you talking about the Cleveland Browns, you guys are a part of that whole mix in the, I believe it's the AFC North, am I correct? Y'all AFC North, right?
Yes, we're AFC North along with Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh.
My argument was on this topic that I'm going to bring up is that I got Cleveland winning three games, one against the Jets, and whoever their quarterback is, I forgot the young man's name, but I think he can win that game against the Jets. He'll lose until Deshaun Watson comes back. And Deshaun Watson is going to win. He's going to beat Houston because he's going to have blood. He's going to be alpha blood. And then it's two more games that I think he can win. I got him winning two against Baltimore. So that's or at least splitting that with Baltimore. So what do you say about that? I got Cleveland going three or four game win season. But you guys fall victim to them at least one time. What do you say about that?
And as I said to you when you mentioned it, that's absolute absurdity. The Ravens will sweep Cleveland. I do, in reviewing Cleveland's schedule, I do see three wins as a possible. However, I do see them making a run late in the season. So Deshaun Watson is supposed to come back week 13 against the Texans. And then they have the Bengals after that, so I think that's a loss. I think they could win the game. He comes back against Texas. I think he would play well there. So let's say that they had three wins up until that point. I definitely see them winning against the Texans and then definitely against the Commanders, the former Redskins.
I don't know because they got the quarterback play. They got what's his name? They got Carson Wentz, so I don't know.
Well, the problem with the Commanders is obviously they struggle with consistency. So regardless of who is their quarterback, and they have great
receiver
in Terry McLaurin. They do, but unfortunately, that's only in the front four. That has nothing to do with the back end. They give up a lot of points to the back end. So I think Cleveland will not be a blowout team. They won't because they have great running games. They got arguably They got a great running back and Nick Chubb. So I don't think that they will be a blowout, right, and Kareem Hunt. And I don't think they'll get blown out every week. I think they will play, tough. They remind me of Jacksonville for years. I mean, Jacksonville was always a team that lost a lot of games, but they were always a tough, tough team. Like, they would lose the heartbreakers, you know, the 16-14 type games, and they could never get
not
over
like
the hump.
But
they
used to be, yeah,
right, right. They just played you tough, but they didn't get blown out every week. I see them being that way without Deshaun. I see Deshaun making a difference though. I think that Saints game against the Cleveland Browns against
the
Saints
on
Christmas Eve. I
they're
think that is a toss up game, and I say that
it's not a winnable game. We got Jameis Winston. We got my wide receiver back, Thomas. He's back. We got Olave. I mean, we got too many weapons, man. That's impossible.
Okay, all right. It is agreeable that the Saints are always historically a tough team at home and suspect on the road. That we know is their MO. And you're right, but if I had to choose between Jameis Winston or Deshaun Watson to win a game, I'd choose Deshaun Watson as far as individual talent, right? Jameis got an arm, no doubt, but Jameis can give three picks to the other team just as easily. he could throw you in a game and he could throw you out. Right, Deshaun can do just a little bit more athletically. So if you compare, I take my chances with Deshaun.
After sitting out for all that time, he can't come to the gym. He can't work out with the team. They're not allowing him to look at the playbook. He's totally exiled, just like how Muhammad Ali was exiled from boxing. He's totally exiled from the Cleveland Browns. They can't even call, no communication. They can't even talk to him on the telephone.
Right, but you figure when they play the Saints on Christmas Eve, that would essentially be his fourth game back, right? So after he got beat up by the Ravens and the Bengals, because I think he'll beat the Texans his first game back. And so week 13, he beats the Texans. Week 14, he loses to the Bengals. And week 15, he loses to the Ravens. Right? If most teams don't lose three straight. So I see him coming in there and the Saints. And the Saints go marching home in defeat.
Is they beating Pittsburgh? No.
Matter of fact, I'm looking at the schedule
They'll
again. They play the Saints. Wait a minute. They play the Saints in Cleveland. So now that changes the whole thing because – New Orleans is great
cold.
At home, but
it
New Orleans
cold
is suspect
there,
on the road. Yeah, and you're talking about Christmas Eve in Cleveland. It's actually a home game for Cleveland, not for the Saints. So the Saints on the road on a 1 o'clock game in the cold weather of Cleveland coming off of that. I see his win coming – his second win as a Brown coming against the Saints.
But you're forgetting something. One of the most important factors is that we got God on our side. That's why they call us the Saints. So I mean, you know, we have an edge in certain categories.
Yeah, that's true. But the Lord does let folks sin, right? He give us the right to sin, the choice to sin. So we can still do wrong, even though He's there. And so the Saints can turn into sinners. Saints can turn into sinners real quickly, right? And so I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think y'all are going to get a spanking. And it'll be his fourth game back. So I see that as a possibility. And again, with that running game of Nick Chubb, I definitely see him wearing you guys down. I see it being close, but I give it to Cleveland, and really an upset. I mean, you know, I'd be curious to see the gambling line on that. You know, Cleveland being a home team, usually a home team is a 3-point favorite. you know, I'm curious to see how the line is going to look on that.
I got coming across my wire right now. Should Kenny Pickett start over Mitch Trubisky? Now we know that Mitch Trubisky is a talent out of University of North Carolina. He's a talent, and he came out. You know, he did well with Chicago. He had some issues. You know, but they didn't bring in this young kid out of Ohio State. You know, they bring him in, and then you know. But I don't know if Kenny Pickett, you know, as well as he played at Pitt, is he really ready to start over a seasoned veteran like Mitch Trubisky that at least has one or two playoff wins?
You're right, and I think Mitch Trubisky should be the starter, and I think this is how Pittsburgh should play it. Go with the starter, let Kenny Pickett see a couple of real games in person, from the sidelines to get that part of the game day preps. And then if Trubisky doesn't do well, then you give him a short hook and you go with the rookie, right? And then you sold the team completely, because if you go with Kenny Pickett off the rip, then the folks will say, well, wait a minute, why'd you bring Trubisky in here only to not go with him? Then you lose them, and then also you can really help them own the locker room. You can help him with the locker room if you just prove that Trubisky couldn't get it done, and then you go with him.
Well, almost,
right, and then
it almost sounded like, remember when about 2 years ago when Tua Tagovailoa came in the league, I think they threw Tua out there. He struggled a couple games, and then they put out the bearded one. We know who I'm talking. Fitzmagic. They put Fitzmagic out there. Fitzmagic shined. He dazzled, and he was winning. And they just pulled him back and sat him down for no reason at all, and threw Tua Tagovailoa back out there. You think if they put Kenny Pickett out there and he struggled, then they put in Mitch Trubisky? But even though Trubisky might have a hot hand, they'll put Kenny Pickett back out there. You see the same scenario playing out in Pittsburgh?
No, I think Mike Tomlin is the type of coach that if he fires you as the quarterback and goes with the rookie, he's going to just ride with the rookie, you know, because he's going to then expect his coaches to just make the rookie better. You know, maybe it's just playing to his strengths, because that's what I think is the most important thing in coaching is playing to your player's strength. If you know you got a guy that doesn't throw well on the run, then don't design a lot of rollout option plays for him, because that's not his strength, right? And, you know, the interesting part is, when does the Steelers change quarterbacks? Let's say, because you figure, you know, they have Cincinnati first, which you could argue would be a loss. They have New England second, which you could argue could be a loss. They got Cleveland third, which you could argue be their first win, right? Then they have the Jets. So you could argue that now they're 2-2. Then they have Buffalo at Buffalo. So then you argue they're 2-3, right? So then you say, well, if Mr. Trubisky gets you to 2-3, are you really shocked, right? Because you could argue those teams are better than Pittsburgh. Week 6 is Tampa Bay against Tom Brady. So that's expected to be a loss. So if the Steelers are 2-4 after week 6, well, nobody's really shocked at that point. Week 7's Miami, though, and week 8's Philly, right? So where are the Steelers at, you know, at the bye week? Because their bye week's week 9. So if their record is what we think it's going to be, but they're not happy with Mitch Trubisky, that's the time to make the change. And then, of course, week 10 they have the Saints, right? So if you're going to make an in-season change, you clearly want to do it at the bye week. And so that's an option for Pittsburgh, but they're not expected to win the division this year. So, you know, do you argue let Trubisky start and then make the switch at the bye week? Because if so, that's kind of perfect, right? That's week 9. That's kind of perfect to see how, you know, Kenny Pickett could do for the last half of the year.
All right. Well, switching over to the NBA, I was talking to you the other day about the NBA Christmas schedule, and the one game that I can remember is the Golden State. The best game I think I saw was Golden State against Memphis. Who you think winning that on Christmas Day? Can Ja Morant, you know, take them boys on Christmas Day, or is it going to be another show for Steph Curry?
I, too, am interested in that game because I'm excited to see how they're going to do. You know, Memphis is definitely a good team, and, you know, they made the playoffs, and they're definitely a team on the rise. And so I'm curious to see how they would do. But, you know, Steph, you could argue, is the best point guard in the league. You know, he has good handles. A lot of people think Steph doesn't have good handles. Steph has good handles. He just dribbles to get open and either get a shot off or pass the ball. But the real Christmas Day game that I'm looking forward to is the Knicks against the 76ers. Me being a Knicks fan, I want to see how that's going to work. And, you know, Joel Embiid, whenever we play him, he tears our front court up. I mean, our front court gets into foul trouble left and right. And I'm curious to see how we're going to switch from that. But, yes, the primetime game is Memphis and Golden State. And I definitely think Steph Curry will put up 40 in that game. And so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, well, we'll see on that there. And then before I get up out of here, it was something I want to ask you as far as like quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think this year, man, we got a straight up superstar besides Aaron Rodgers. Of course, Tom Brady's always gonna be in the pitch as long as he's playing, but I think he's gonna fall off. But I don't really see that superstar. I would have said Joe Burrow, but he got appendicitis. And then, you know, let's look at the young guys for a minute. You know, like the young guy from Chicago Bears. I don't think he still ain't going to be ready based on what I saw the other night. Then, you know, who else? Who else can I just say that's standing out? You could say Stafford, but I ain't never really looked at Stafford as a star. I'm going to be honest with you, man. He's never wowed me. He won a Super Bowl. But, hell, Jared Goff won a Super Bowl with the same damn team. And he's also doing just as bad as Stafford with the other team. So it's something about the team. It ain't the quarterback. But I've never seen Stafford as a star. So quarterback play, who's the star this year? It ain't the Patriots.
Justin Herbert.
I think Herbert
with the Chargers is going to be this year's surprise. I think you're right. Joe Burrow was definitely the surprise last year. But, you know, I think he's going to have a drop-off. I think the appendicitis is definitely going to slow him up in the beginning, right? I think, you know, because it's going to take him a while to get on the field. I think he just started practicing. So I think the appendicitis is going to slow him down, meaning he's going to get off to a slow start. Plus, Cincinnati has a tough schedule.
Yep.
And then I think, but I think Justin Herbert's going to be the darling of the NFL this year. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people with some wins. I think San Diego's, because he puts up good numbers. You know, San Diego has always been that team that win or lose the game in the last 40 to 50 seconds every single year, right? Like, the years that they make the playoffs, they squeaked in, even under Phillip Rivers. They snuck in because, you know, they won some games at the end. And they also lost some games at the end. I mean, San Diego has always been that heart attack team, right? Like, but Justin Herbert continues that trend, but he usually wins more often than not in the last 50 seconds or so. So I think that's going to be a difference for him. I think they're going to get more wins this year, and I think that's going to make him the hot throb of the NFL.
I agree with you on Herbert being the standard. And I forgot, I apologize to the listeners that I forgot about two key quarterbacks, and that is Patrick Mahomes and my man for the Bills. I forgot about those two. So I would say the best Josh Allen. I'd say the best quarterback right now would be Aaron Rodgers. You can't deny that. Right up next to him or right up under him would be Tom Brady based on his age. And then if you drop down as far as like then you got your Mahomes, Allen, of course, and then up under that, you know, I would say Herbert as the breakout young star in his junior season. I would say, you know, that would be sophomore season. No, the junior, because he'd been in the league 3 years this year. So, yeah, I'd say Herbert being like the standout amongst all the youngsters. But definitely Burrow would have been right there with him. But Burrow already went to a Super Bowl, but the only thing that's plaguing him, I would have him over Herbert because of the Super Bowl. But the only thing hurting Burrow is Joe Burrow is that his guts are going to be sore for a long time. Them guts, I wouldn't even put him on the field this year, to be honest with you. I wouldn't even let him play.
And that's a very good point. That's a very good point. I'll tell you this, though. I definitely think that Patrick Mahomes will not have as good of numbers this year. They don't have Tyreek Hill. They've lost some weapons. They got, Nicole or whatever. But I don't think he's going to be. Nicole Harmon. He's not a number one wide receiver. They don't scare me this year. Like they did in years past. I think Kelsey Kelsey always seemed to be open because the people were worried about Tyreek Hill. And without Tyreek Hill, I think Kelsey's going to get all of the attention and not do as well. And so Kansas City doesn't scare me. Plus, their division is tough, right? I mean, Denver's gotten better. San Diego is clearly better. You could argue Oakland is arguably the best team in that division. They got Devontae Adams. They already had Waller as a tight end. They got a running game. They got a decent defense. And they was already throwing the ball pretty well. And then you add on top, because they made the playoffs last year. Can't take it from them. And then you argue on top of that, they picked up Devontae Adams. I mean, it's crazy, right? So I think Kansas City is actually not going to do as well. I see them being 10-7, quite frankly, and completing for a wild card. I do not see them running away with the AFC West. Not at all.
Well, you know, real quick, let me say this here to the listeners. Welcome to the Thogans and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, this is Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Thogans and Beer is the official platform for the Armchair Quarterback. Speaking of Armchair Quarterbacks, I got my man DC on the line talking a little bit sports-related topics, all these sports coming over the wire. DC, before you get out of here, because I'm going to go back into my lesson in about 5 minutes, but before you get out of here, man, did you notice the slick move that the Cardinals pulled on their quarterback, Kyler Murray? Now, when I say slick move, I want you to follow me here. At first, they put in this contract, you will study your playbook X amount of hours a day. That was in the contract. Then they turn around and say, oh, we verbally, because I don't think they changed that contract, we're going to verbally just leave him alone. It's in the contract. But we're going to just trust that he do what he's supposed to do, and we'll know it by his play. But this is the kicker. The last two games, this is how they're checking his homework. He's saying he's studying. But, you know, when you take your homework in, the teacher got to check it and give you credit. They're putting him on the field, letting him call plays in the second half. So he's almost like an assistant OC, and they're looking at his play-calling ability. And I think they're going to continue to do that throughout the season. You're going to stand there by the OC, and you're going to call plays, you know, because they want to know, what are you seeing defensively? Can you locate the safety? Can you understand the package? What do you say about that?
Yeah,
I
did notice that move, and I thought the exact same you did. So it's funny you mentioned that. I thought it was slick. And the unfortunate part is even Michael Vick admitted it. He said that when even in his heyday in Atlanta, he was not watching film and he was not studying the game. He was just relying on his athleticism. And I say that to say that is the difference. You know, the guys that win are the guys that take every edge to get better. I remember Shannon Sharp admitting that he would get his stool analyzed to see if he had too much calcium or magnesium or not enough whatever in his body. And his argument was, my body is how I'm making money, right? And my health,
right,
my strength as a football player is what's giving me my millions, right? I can't control coaching. I can't control if the quarterback get me the ball, but I can make sure that I'm open. I can make sure that I beat my defender or whatever, right? So he took real pride in his body. And so that's the thing here. If you're a quarterback and you're not looking at film, you're an idiot, because you're going to get beat by the guy that works harder and prepares harder than you every time. And so, yeah, I thought it was smart of Arizona to make him do that and to force him into the playbook to call plays, right? And then on top of that, he gets to see what plays. Oh, well, I didn't know we had that play drawn up, and maybe I'll use that in the game, right? I'll audible to it or whatever, right? So I think it's great, and it shows how much Arizona wants to win. Now, if you think back, they used to play in Tempe when they was getting that new stadium built. Now they have that brand-new stadium. So they have the new stadium. They came out and got a young coach. They made all those trades and draft picks. And so now they got a young, high-flying offense. And then they just gave this kid money, right? So they want to produce. They want to win. They tasted the playoffs, and they want to win. And so I think it's a great idea. You know, I think it's a great idea.
How long can he continue to play like that, though? I mean, look at Russell Wilson. I mean, after a while, the budget eventually catches up to you. Like, I think Russell Wilson could still play in Seattle. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, you got to let this player go. People get older. You got to let people go, bring other people in. It ain't the same Super Bowl unit you had. Coaches getting older. Then so that affects the quarterback play. And look at Russell Wilson. He's in Denver now trying to rejuvenate his career. I see that for Kyler Murray eventually because, I mean, things change around a quarterback that plays that style. And plus, he's a quarterback that plays that style like Lamar Jackson. You got to pay these guys eventually because, I mean, even though you don't want them to be running around, they do it anyway. And they're putting asses in the seats. So, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't see him lasting long. I don't see him retiring in Arizona. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Arizona says, can we at least get one ring out of him or at least one to two Super Bowl appearances, right? Because as you talked about, the revenue in the NFL is so large that if you just get to the playoffs, you get additional money. And if you stay in the playoffs and can get to separate divisional rounds, different rounds, it's even more money. I mean, if you think about it, let's say your ticket for the regular season is $165 for nosebleed. Well, for the first round of the playoffs, that might be $465. And for the next round, that might be $775. And then for the AFC Championship game or something like that, that nosebleed seat could be $1,000. Right? I mean, remember how much some Super Bowl tickets was going for last year? So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's money just to get in the playoffs and go deeper, even if you don't get to a ring. So I agree. I think they want Kyler Murray to at least get him as far as he can. And I'm also with you. His athleticism is his treasure right now because he's a short guy. I mean, I'm 5'10", and he's actually shorter than I am. Right, so he's a short guy, and so from trying to throw over a 6'8" offensive tackle to a 6'4" wide receiver with a 5'11" corner draped over his back, and you're 5'7", 5'8", that's pretty tough. Right? I mean, that's what Doug Flutie's challenge is always, right? His height. So yeah, I think that athleticism catches up with you after a while. So yeah, I think Arizona just wants to capitalize on his talent now while he's young, and if they can't get a ring, but they can at least get deep in the playoffs every year, then it's winner-winner chicken dinner, right?
Scenario for you real fast. If you was me in my position and you do what I do, managing athletes, what do you tell a kid? I'm asking you this because I want to see if you come to the same conclusion that I do. Because I had a kid that I was talking to this past week, street free agent, kid that I haven't given up on, but I had to take my hands off of them because they didn't understand the challenges that they're dealing with. It's like, you know, in the NFL, they have what you call measurable. They got all these data sheets and data statistics and shit like that that they do. And so if you are a certain position and you're not the right height, you can play. You're not the right height. You're not the right weight. They're looking at your feet, your hands. They're looking at all these different intangibles. Because I was trying to tell the young man, I said, look, man, I understand you might be discouraged that you got to play at the film level, the pro-developmental level to keep getting film. Because the only way that you make it to the league, you got to be playing. Sitting at home training ain't going to work for you. You got to have current film, or else you got gaps in your resume. And I was trying to explain to the kid, and I'll let you comment on this. I was trying to explain to the kid, the NFL is like any other job. When you interview anybody for any job that's actually paying real money, and we're talking about the high-level stuff, like if you work in Wall Street, high-level physician or whatever, high-level athlete, you're getting paid. The NFL is the shield for a reason. And it's like because they don't have a listing where you can just call a coach, scout, or personnel director because they want to be hidden because if so many people want these jobs and they don't want to be bothered all day. Then when you actually get an opportunity to get one of them jobs, it's you against 100 other guys, 50 of them look like you, 50 of them are even better. So when you look at all this, the reason why it's so hard to get into the NFL, I told the kid, was because of the amount of money that they pay. The check is life-changing money. So when you have a situation that have life-changing money, it's going to be hard as hell to get that bag. Did I tell them right, in your opinion, or what do you think?
Yes, I think you did. And I'll tell you something else. What he should do, he should do, is let's say he's a safety. He should go on each NFL team's website and look at the measurables on the safeties on their team. Right? If the average safety on the team is, let's say, 6'2 and 225 pounds, let's say, and this guy is 5'9, 185 pounds, then that automatically lets him know he doesn't have the measurables to be a safety in the NFL, right? If every team safety is a certain profile, let's just tell you something. Even Tony Siragusa, he just recently passed away, retired NFL player, won Super Bowl ring. You know, he played for Detroit. Yep. He played for Baltimore. Ravens. Savvy veteran. Tony Siragusa admitted that the Ravens at one point had him on a weight restriction. He could only get so fat, right? So yeah. even for a defensive tackle, a position where your weight matters, he actually, and I don't know if anybody remembers seeing that Hard Knocks, the Ravens were the first ones to do a Hard Knocks with HBO, but they showed a scene where he was shopping with his wife in the supermarket, and she was saying, honey, what about picking up this food? And he was like, no, because that'll get me out of my weight limit with the NFL. He was so worried about being too fat and being cut from the team, right? And so, you know, so you say, well, wow. So even for a defensive tackle, a nose tackle, those guys have weight issues too. So if you are not measuring up, something you can't control is your height. Your height, right? If you don't measure up to the standards of that position, then maybe he needs to shift position. You know,
but I'm telling you, speak to the money. Speak to the money part of it. The point I'm making is that they made the measurables because how do we disqualify? They fixed it to where this is how we disqualify them. By the 40 times, the bench reps on 225 pounds, height, weight, age, all these different measurables, they have to have a way to disqualify you. And I'm trying to explain to the guy, the reason why they do that is because if I'm going to pay a guy the amount of money that these unions make us pay these guys, then damn it, they're going to have to be the best. Am I correct in
saying
that?
You're 100% correct. I remember Kaepernick remember when he made that series on Netflix. He tried to compare the scouting combine to slave auctions, which I didn't agree with, but I definitely understood his point. His point was, if you've got any issues, they want to look and find it out. But again, if I'm giving you millions of dollars to play a position, yeah, I want to make sure you're not lying to me, telling me you don't have any knee problems, and come find out when I take a picture of you with your boxers on and no shirt that you got scars up and down your knees, right? I sign you to a guaranteed deal, and then I come find out you got knee problems. Now I just lost money. Or I have to pay a lawyer to take you to court to recover my money that I lost, right? What business wants to do that? Because this is a business, you know, and so companies want to make sure.
That's almost like Ben Simmons, like with Ben Simmons. The same
that's
thing.
Right.
I paid you all this money, and you can't even perform because you're saying you got some mental thing. Well, I gave you a health questionnaire. You didn't even put it on there.
That's right. See,
we
so
want the money.
I'm going to recover my money, right? So that's the same thing here. So I definitely agree that for a player, you have to keep that in mind. This is a business, and if you don't measure up, you're not getting in, you know, and you're not even getting the opportunity to get in.
Yeah, because these guys are paying extreme money. So like my topic says today, start where you stand. You know, this episode teaches three free agents not to wait on the ideal situation all the time, but to start their careers where they stand, which is what I was trying to explain to this young man, and I think that he's going to probably wind up letting himself down because he's going to do, and like I told him, there is no right answer to get to the NFL. If it was a right answer, everybody would be doing it, and if it was a right answer, I would already have told it to him. I wouldn't even be wasting the time. I'm going to give you the right answer, not the wrong one. But in trying to make it to the NFL is just like, it's a needle in a haystack opportunity because the amount of money that these guys, they make a lot of money. And the bottom line is the people that gets to make the lot of money got to be damn near perfect to make it. So anyway, man, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Real quick, DC, tell everybody where they can find you at on social media and whatnot if they want an opportunity to make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. So my Twitter is DC WFG 357, and that's the easiest way to get to me, DC WFG Whiskey Foxtrot Golf 357, and then I can talk to them. Also, they can get to me through you. If they reach out to you, you can reach out to me, and then I will meet with them and help them out. But yes, I will try to reach out to King Mike today and let him know what we do and see if it'll be a good fit for not just him but for us. For him, since I understand he's pushing to get out there and get himself going and keeping his options open just in case he doesn't get the opportunity.
Exactly, and I appreciate that, man, and that's why I always have you on the show with that opportunity because a lot of guys, you know, again, they don't understand that you got to be paying for everything, everything, every situation. The street agent has to pay out of his pocket. It's no longer college, so you providing information on how guys can take another alternate route. And like you said, it's not network marketing. It's just a network marketing platform, but it is an actual business. But y'all just use a network marketing platform and through e-commerce. So I want to thank you again, man, for having me on the show, man. I'll be in touch, and I'm going to let you get off this line and get on back to work. But thank you for tuning in.
Yep, thank you for having me.
All right. Yes, hello again, everybody that's just tuning in. This is Stories and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. Our topic for today, and I'm going to get off into that and close out the show, start where you stand. This episode will teach street free agent athletes to start their professional careers in the most immediate leagues and levels they qualify to play at. Again, this episode will teach street free agent athletes start their professional careers in the most immediate leagues and levels they qualify to play at. This episode will teach three free agents not to wait on the ideal situation all the time, but to start their careers where they stand. This episode will also feature Michael Miller, defensive back, University of West Georgia, for the street free agents athlete spotlight. So we have Michael Miller, defensive back, University of West Georgia, on the show today. I encourage all high school kids that's going into their first year of college, high school kids that are going into their first year of college after they graduate this fall to go back and listen to this episode. I encourage college kids that's in their last year of playing ball that's going into their going to the draft, and that's for every sport. Go back and listen to this episode, and Mike is telling his life story up until this point, trying to find an opportunity to play professionally at the most immediate level. But the biggest thing I want to share about Start Where You Stand is that, you know, I'm not, when I say street free agents to guys, I'm not downing you. It's just the fact that you are a street free agent. You're a street free agent because you weren't affiliated with the NFL combine, NFL draft situation, then, you know, stuff like that. So that's why I say street free agent, meaning like if you did nothing and sat at home and trained all day or just sat at home on the couch waiting on the phone to ring, you're basically on the street as far as sports are concerned. No one knows about you. So that's why I use the term street free agent. That's not a bad thing because we take street free agents and take them off the couch and put them on the field. And then some of these guys, like we've seen for the Dallas Cowboys playing against, I think the Cowboys and the Chargers were playing this weekend, if I'm correct, we had Kevontae, I think his name is Kevontae Turpin. You know, he dazzled. He showed what he did in the USFL. Now, this is a guy that played fan-controlled football. This guy played indoor football league, I believe, for the Frisco Fighters. Fan-controlled football. Then he went to, I think he went to Europe for a stint in the ELF. And then he went off into the USFL. And then now he signed a free agent contract to come to camp and try to make a roster, which I believe he will make, with the Dallas Cowboys. However, he has a, you know, he's not what I would call the typical street free agent because he wasn't a Division II, Division III, or NIA kid. Those are the players that I usually help and that I deal with. However, they have to take the same route that he took, but he did play high-level D1. He was a high-level D1 athlete at TCU. So him being in that area, I'm assuming that, you know, Dallas kept him on the radar, you know, and probably remembered him from his college days. But however, he did have to take all those steps that guys from the lower college levels took or have to take. So it can happen. You just got to keep finding a place to play. You got to keep finding a way to get on the football field. You can't look at the opportunity and say, oh, well, I'm not going to go out there and play at the pro developmental film level and risk an injury for a couple bucks. Because if all I'm hearing when you say that is a couple bucks. We're talking about money. Because, you know, if they was paying NFL money in the indoor football league, National Arena League level, and fan control football league level, you wouldn't have a problem playing that game. You wouldn't have a problem playing that style. You wouldn't have a problem getting film at that level if they was paying NFL money. You would have a problem with it. So that's what I hear when people say about money. Oh, I ain't gonna play at that level, you know, because the money. Yeah, I don't want to go out there and, you know, risk injury because of the money. But that's all I'm hearing from guys is the money. My program is not set up, unfortunately, for you to make money. It's set up for you to get film. And I tell a guy that. It's not set up for you to go to the NFL. It's set up for you to get a professional football experience and opportunity, a professional football experience and professional football opportunity. And if the NFL is in the cards after doing all that, then so be it. Is that do I want that? Yes, that's what I want. Yes, that's what I want. You know, because I understand the journey. I mean, like I tell a lot of guys, they say, you know, well, they say, well, you know, I'm disgusted with all the obstacles that I went through with trying to play pro ball. And I tell them, I said, if you think you're disgusted with the obstacles you're going through, think about me. I mean, all the guys that I've tried to help, this is why I can literally, every time I do a show, call an athlete, no matter what sport, mainly football, but I got a lot in basketball, a good amount in basketball, several in baseball, that I can call on this show and talk about their life story. Seriously, I can do it because I've helped so many guys. Several baseball players, several basketball players, be it male or female, a slew of football players. All of these guys and girls, all these men and women that I have helped in being, you know, trying to move through their street free agency, I've helped all these people. That's why I can put so many people on the show. Look at how many people that I've helped go to an NBA G League workout when I knew the general manager. We didn't sit down and drink together, but we had a good network relationship. He would answer my phone calls. He would answer my email. And so I can put you in the ideal situation at the highest level. I put somebody in front of a WNBA coach that was playing overseas, high level, and they still didn't get the call. Not that she was worried about it because, you know, it was one of my good friends. He was making good money over in Europe, over in Spain, I believe. If it wasn't Spain, it was Europe, one or the other. But the thing about it is, you know, she was making high-level money in Euroball, but I put her tape in front of a WNBA coach for the Connecticut Sun. And he broke her film all the way down in front of me. And when I say the coaches break the film down, I'm talking about he broke the film down and told me everything that was right, everything that was wrong, strengths and weaknesses, and this is why she was probably still in Europe and hadn't got the WNBA call, although she was playing high. He said, although she's playing high-level ball in Europe, she's playing high-level ball. And he knew the people that she was playing against. This is the stuff that I'm trying to explain to you, that I've been in the room when they've broken down film. I've been in the room. I've got the notes when somebody breaks down an athlete. And when you're thinking that you're, oh, hey, I ain't no street free agent. I'm supposed to be in the NFL. Well, I mean, if you're not in the NFL, you're probably a street free agent. So it's not me knocking you and saying that you can't get to the NFL, but again, start where you stand. I'll tell you a little bit about me as an executive. I could have sat back here and said, okay, you know, I'm going to go to school. I'm gonna take all these classes, and that's great. I could have went to school, journalism school, and all this stuff to do these radio shows, to manage athletes. I could have did all this different stuff. Go try to be a lawyer and dedicate my law degree into sports, you know, and stuff like that. I could have went to sports management school. I could have did all that stuff. Still can. But know what I told myself? I said, I'm going to just start. I'm going to just start. I'm going to find some players based on my experience from another sport. I used to box. I tell this story a lot on the show. I used to box. Once I decided boxing wasn't in the cards for me no more because I had kids. It was their turn to do whatever they were going to do, and I was about 26. I was 26, 27 years old, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not dedicated to my sport no more. I'm drinking. I'm training, but I'm drinking after I train. I burn the weight off and put the weight back on after I go and crack open a beer. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, and I had to realize, man, you lost it. Now you got a family. You're married again for the second time. You got your kid. You got stepkids. So you got a big, you got a nice-sized family. And this, I got to put my time into these kids. So they school age. They playing Pop Warner football, basketball, cheerleading, and everything else. Whatever they want to do, trying to sing, whatever the case may be. Oh, they trying to be a star. And sometimes as an adult, you got to look back and say, hey, man, I'm going to have to live my dream through my kids. Not forcefully live it, but like make them do something they don't want to do, but I'm going to have to take everything I know, put it into them, and watch and see what they do with it. Maybe they make it, maybe they don't, but I know they're going to be good human beings in life. They're going to be good citizens. I'm going to show them how to do it the right way. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing that I'm saying is I had to start where I stood in professional sports. I said, okay, I ain't boxing no more, but I can at least learn how to go and referee, train, manage. I wanted just doing more, so let me start managing boxers. That I had to put that on the back burner because I wanted to do my own promotions, have my own contests and stuff like that for boxing. I move on from that point. I got away from that because I didn't have the money to do it. So I said, what's the next best option? I wind up going off into music as an A&R. I had to learn that on my own, on the job training. Started doing my own music promotions. Had a lot of great artists, just like these street free agent athletes. Underground artists are the same thing. Same story, just different things. Sports and entertainment is the same story. Some of them using their body, other ones using their mind and their mouth to put a message out, to entertain you. It's all the same thing. Sports is entertainment. It's the same journey. Trying to be an underground artist, getting these guys signed to a major record label. I went through a slew of underground artists. I can call right now and get them on the show and tell their story. I'm going to do that too. I'm going to bring them on the show to tell their story. But I want all you guys to understand, whatever you're doing, whether it's sports, entertainment, it's all these different stories out there that you guys need to be aware of, because it's not easy making that bag. That's why it's so hard to get. That's why even in the music industry, it's like, well, how does he look? What's the look? What's her look? Who she look like? Who he look like? Are they handsome? Are they fat? Are they skinny? Are they tall? What their voice sound like? It's all these different. It's all these different things. What kind of sound they got? Do they got their own original sound? Are they trying to mimic somebody else? It's all these different things just to tell you no all the time. Same thing with sports. How tall is he? How big is he? How fast is he? How strong is he? And all these different things to not get you the bag. There's so many ways to try to disqualify people, and they do it for a reason, because everybody is trying to get that bag. How do we sift through all these people and find the best? That's why they use the measurables. Only other thing you can do after that, outside of that, is pray that you run into the right person that actually has a behind-the-door contact, which one day I hope to have those for all my guys. I hope to have those type of contacts, whether you do sports or entertainment, to where I can just say, hey, I know this kid, listen to this music demo. I know this kid, take a look at his football, basketball, baseball highlights. I'm praying that one day I get to that point. That's why I keep doing this, because I believe that one day I'm going to have relationships with front office personnel, whether it's sports and entertainment. I believe I'm going to have those professional front office contacts to where I'm sitting down drinking with these people, smoking a cigar with these people, and I can just say, hey, can you do me a favor? That's the type of relationship that I'm praying that I'm going to have one day. I'm believing that I'm going to have those relationships one day. And I'm saying all this, again, the topic of this show, for those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her bold opinions about anything sports related. We talk all sports, but mainly NFL stuff, professional football. This is a football talk show, but we do talk NBA, Major League Baseball, and any other sport that's on TV, whether it's horse racing, dog racing, pie eating contest, hot dog eating contest. If they're putting it on TV, we'll talk about that sport. But anyway, getting back to my topic today, is start where you stand. Start where you stand is just basically saying that, you know, back to my story, I could have went to school for to learn sports management and do all this stuff, learn how to promote, learn how to do this in school. And I still can do that if I chose to do so, but I don't, because I learned on-the-job training. I took a lot of losses. Now, if you want to avoid losing money, avoid making mistakes, you can go to school and learn principles. You can learn principles of business in school, but that's still not going to really stop you from making mistakes. It might minimize them, and it's not going to stop you from losing money, but it may minimize it. School can help you minimize risk. It can help you minimize risk, but you're still going to have to get your feet wet. So I just went out there and got my feet wet. I started where I stood. After I got done with the music business, I seen that it wasn't working because the internet killed that business. I got back off into sports. I started trying to help high school kids get college scholarships. I've had colleges fly out here to see me. It's a fact. A lot of y'all might hear this show and think I'm BSing. I've had NCAA colleges find money in their budget to come out here and see me. I found different programs out there that a lot of people didn't even know about. Like on the Indian reservations, they give out scholarships because they have their own schools on Indian reservations, junior colleges and universities. Yes, they do. And they specialize in basketball. I've had them fly out here. Yes, they have. So it's a whole lot of things I've helped. You know, I started doing, helping college, high school kids get to college. Moving aside from that, I got back off into wanting to help college kids go pro. I've done that. I didn't go to school for it. I started where I stood. I started doing all this stuff. And in entertainment, I started where I stood. And basically what I did was, I went to school later. well after I had moved my soul from state to state. And then I wound up going to school when I came back to California. So I started in California, San Diego, L.A., Long Beach, San Diego, Long Beach, Los Angeles, then Fort Worth, Dallas, Texas, in the DFW in Texas. Came back to San Diego again. Then I decided I just wasn't going to do it no more because it wasn't moving these hip-hop and R&B artists where I needed them to go. So I got back off into sports. Now here I stand. I've done stuff for high school kids, getting them college scholarships, didn't go to school for it, started where I stood. Helping college kids get off the couch and get pro contracts. I've gotten guys all the way from the Pro Developmental Film League, like American Arena League, American Football Association. I'm sorry, Arena Football Association, American Arena League. I worked with kids from American West Football Conference. I moved them up, done fan control football, National Arena League, Indoor Football League. Had a player in the Alliance of American Football, CFL. Arena One offered him a contract, and he moved all the way on up to the doggone XFL and got another XFL draft pool invite right now. I mentioned his name earlier. That's Josh Jenkins. He hit every step with me. Josh Jenkins, defensive back hybrid linebacker out of Army West Point, then moved on to, like I said, all these different professional leagues. He's been in them. That's how good of an athlete he is. And he got an opportunity now to go back with several CFL offers and an XFL draft pool invite. But thing about it is, again, start where you stand. I didn't go to school to meet all these people. I wasn't formally trained to meet all these people. But because I just said I'm going to start and learn as I go, that's why I'm in the position I'm in today. I have all these different athlete stories in my head. I remember my players. I remember my R&B and hip-hop artists. I remember all these different people that I came across in sports and entertainment. I'm putting them on this platform to tell their story so people that's coming up can understand this is what you got to go through to make it. A lot of guys, going back to football, a lot of guys, you know, that I'm running across, they just don't, you know, they don't understand why they just can't go into the league. Why I just can't start off in the league. I'm glad I had my man DC on here explaining and agreeing with what I said. You guys are trying to get to a real bag, life-changing money. Life-changing money ain't just out there for you to grab. Life-changing money is just like life. You're always going to be sitting back in life wondering, like, why I can't be rich? Why I can't have that person's life? Sometimes it just ain't in the cards for you. But how do you know if it's in the cards for you or not if you don't keep trying? You don't try one time and fail and say, oh, okay, well, that's good enough. And I'm talking about, you know, if you're playing in the Pro Developmental Film League and you're not starting in the Pro Developmental Film League, how in the heck are you going to start in the NFL? That's just a fact. If you're not starting in the Indoor Football League, Champions Indoor Football League, Arena Football Association, if you're not starting at these film leagues, whatever level they're at, How are you going to go to the NFL? You're not even starting down there. And it's competition in these leagues, big competition. So all I'm saying to you is that, you know, you guys got to change your mind, change your attitude. You got about 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to go ahead and set black and fade all, but I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Stogies and Beer Radio Station. I am your host, Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. And Stogies and Beer can be listened to most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. I'll be going on vacation here real soon, but I have more information about that on Thursday. I'm going to be off of the air for, you know, about 12 days because I'm going to be visiting some family, but out of town. But anyway, again, this has been the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, the official platform for the armchair quarterback. Our topic today was start where you stand, and that's my encouragement for you today. Don't try one time, keep trying, but you got to start somewhere. And with the somewhere, I mean is starting where you stand. So this is Romero Ferrant, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. I'm going to encourage you to stay safe from monkeypox and COVID-19. Please wash your hands, keep your mask on in crowded areas, and have a great day. said Black, say it all.